WildTalkRadio.com.
I only have one thing to say. It's great to be back on Monday Night Raw!
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
This is my yard now.
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
If I were to apply to you now on this concrete a perfectly executed inside cradle, commonly known as a small package, how long do you think it would take you to escape?
You would never escape a perfectly executed small package. 99% of the time, a small package, when applied expertly by an expert wrestler like myself, always works.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The Queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
Oh, it's true. It's damn true. We're live. It's a Raw Post Show. Long Day Arizona Raw Talk Radio Network. Presented always by Garrick.net. And Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow Journey today. Instagram.com/MBG1211. I'm Sorokin. Joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
Hello, people of the interwebs. We're here. We're back. It's Monday night, and it is the fallout from Great Balls of Fire. And this was an interesting Raw. It had its moments. Had a fantastic main event.
Yeah, we'll talk about the main event here in a bit. Let's talk about the biggest moment of the show. The situation where Kurt Angle came out, and he was talking about what's coming up with Braun Strowman and how things got out of hand and Braun is somewhere. Don't know when he'll be back.
Bray went and found him. He took him home. He's training him for his wounds.
Now I remember the one other... Anyway... We'll talk about that in a bit. Because I remember things. So, Kurt Angle calls out the WWE Universal Champion, Brock Lesnar. They come out, and Angle said Lesnar beat him for the championships 14 years ago. That made me feel old a little bit. Angle said Lesnar probably took a few years off his career. Angle said, amazes Lesnar. Lesnar gets better every single week. And then he shook his hand, and Heyman introduced the two. And then Kurt Angle wanted to do a, you know, talk about what's happening at SummerSlam. And then Heyman said this is a creative meeting. So not, but they don't want to do like live brainstorming sessions. Roman Reigns, the attempted murderer, comes out. He glares at Kurt Angle, glares at Brock Lesnar. Angle told Heyman they weren't done with their conversation. Angle told Reigns that he had a lot of nerve coming out here after what he did last night. What I pulled? Reigns said. Reigns said he was in the ring with Angle Lesnar and the father of hardcore himself, and Angle was telling him he went too far?
Yeah, you did.
Reigns said that they were all part of the Attitude Era, and they destroyed everything and blew everything up. They weren't trying to kill people. Angle said that was then, this is now. Reigns said they could thank him. He said Angle didn't know how to handle Strowman, and Lesnar is never around to do it. And everyone went, oh.
That was a good burn. Not gonna lie, that was a good burn.
Lesnar was mad. Angle stood there with between him and Reigns. Reigns said he did him a favor and he's owed one. Maybe it's Lesnar at SummerSlam. Heyman's like, yeah, I like this. But Brock's like, you've got to be kidding. You actually think you deserve this? You don't deserve shit, buddy. Right now is as close as you're getting to this title. You don't deserve it, my man. This is as close as you're going to get, quote-unquote. Samoa Joe came out.
Took exception to everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like Joe does, aren't in spectacular fashion.
It's like, aren't we all living in a wonderful fantasy land? He said he was going to drag them all back down to reality. And Lesnar said, reality is I kicked your ass last night, Joe. Joe says not to worry about that because sooner or later he will put his ass to sleep. Joe says Lesnar knows in his heart of hearts that he didn't beat him. He escaped him. Joe says Reigns has never beaten him. Heyman told Joe that Reigns putting The Undertaker on a Samoan trophy case is a claim for a title shot. Okay, here's the thing. If that's true, why didn't he get it at what? What was the first pay-per-view they did?
Extreme Rules?
Extreme Rules? Was that the first Raw pay-per-view? Why didn't he get it at Extreme Rules then, huh? He deserves a shot. Why didn't he get a Great Balls? Just saying. Joe said he was excommunicated from this excommunicated Samoan who was thrown out of his own tribe. We'll never see another title, said Paul Heyman.
Heyman's just a little bitter about what happened between him and Joe. Mm-hmm. Just a little.
Joe started to talk to Lesnar, who got in his face until Angle stood between them. Joe told Lesnar that his advocate is protecting him because he knows his number. Reigns mocked the idea that Joe had his number by smiling, saying, You showed the whole world last night. And Joe said Reigns was basically, you know, he's a guy who got beat down by Braun Strowman. Reigns took Joe to the... Reigns told Joe to look at him. He told him, look at Braun if you can find him. Look at me, then look at Braun if you can find him. Angle stepped in between and said, next week, I got an idea. The winner of the match between you and Roman Reigns and Samoa Joe will get a shot at Brock Lesnar. They started going, you know, face to face. And Angle said he would cancel the match if they got physical. This was intense. This was really, really, really good.
This was fantastic. It picked up when Samoa Joe came out. Because you had, you know, Angle sucking up to Brock, Brock enjoying it, then you had Roman come out, shots were fired between Roman and Brock, and Roman had some good points, Brock had some good points, and then Joe came out, and business just picked up. Because Joe brings that intensity to something that Brock kind of does, but doesn't, and Roman kind of does, but doesn't. Joe just walks out there, and you know shit's gonna get stirred. Because that's what Joe does best.
That is what Joe does best. Here's the thing about this whole segment. It was really cool to finally see Kurt Angle and Brock Lesnar in the ring together.
Yeah, it was.
And Kurt's big. Brock's huge.
Yeah, I never realized, I guess, Brock was that big, you know, in terms of height and width. Because it's like whenever you see Brock, you see him next to someone smaller. And then you look at Kurt Angle, who's about 6'4", 6'5", and Brock is taller than Angle, and I never realized that. And, like, Brock actually dwarfs Kurt Angle. It's like, holy crap.
Actually, Kurt's 6 foot. He just always appeared bigger than that.
Yeah. Oh, he's only 6 feet?
Yeah.
I thought he was, like, 6'4".
No, but he always, because he was so massive, muscular, it's like he looked, every way he was positioned, he always looked bigger.
Yeah, it's like, I guess the way that they always shot him, they made him look taller.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Okay. So, because then Brock's got to be about 6'4". If Angle's 6 feet, Brock is taller than Angle.
6'3".
Okay, close enough.
So, it just, the muscle size, it's, you know.
Yeah. But, I mean, I really enjoyed this segment. I really liked this segment. Roman is finding his way with the new character, whatever it is.
Heel. Should be heel.
I don't know what he is. I don't know whether he's a heel or a face. I can't tell.
You mean he's not a good guy. He's not a bad guy. He's the guy.
But I don't know what to do with him in that case. Like, no. I really, really don't. It's like, do I boo him? Do I cheer him? What do I do for him?
And that's the whole Roman Reigns problem.
It's like, you know, I'm sorry, he did attempt to kill Braun Strowman last night. We're going to talk about that on Thursday. Don't worry about that. On the rack, 10 p.m. Eastern right here on wildtalkradio.com. Ding! We will be discussing Great Balls of Fire. But it's like you had Roman come out, right? And Roman's trying to be this cool, confident, badass. He's doing what he used to do in the Shield, which is like, thank God, finally, they brought him back to that. Now we're getting somewhere with him. When he was a heel. And it's like Roman's finding his way. He's doing his thing. He's with Brock. There's something missing where there isn't that spark between Brock and Roman that is just like, it's almost there, but it's just like, it just needs that spark. And then you have Joe walk out, right? And granted, they did a fantastic job of building Joe and Brock. No question. They threw everything they had at Joe and Brock and made them both look like $1 million for this pay-per-view. But Joe and Brock have a chemistry together that I feel like Brock and Roman do not have. Because I think Joe and Brock are on each other's level, you know, in terms of just that instant credibility, instant badassery, instant all of it. You know, it's like just the two of them, they're on that same wavelength, they're on that same level, they're brawlers, they're fighters, they're not necessarily there to wrestle, they're just there to kick somebody's ass, collect money, and leave. Like, that is who they are. That is what they're there for. That's their prerogative. Is to win titles, make money, leave. That's it. They're not there for any other reason. Roman, they're trying to get him to that level. They really, truly are. They're trying to get him there, and I respect that. But when you stand Roman and Joe in the ring next to each other, and then you throw Brock in that mix, along with Angle and Heyman, like, everybody in that ring at one time, Roman got lost in that shuffle.
So, the one, eat, sleep, conquer, repeat. Anyway, these catchphrases just work perfectly for these people.
Well, I mean, it's...
I'm just saying, they do.
It's like, I want to believe in Roman, like, but I don't know whether to cheer for him or to boo him. I don't know if he's a heel. I don't know if he's a face, especially after last night. Like, I don't know what to do with Roman.
Make him a heel. Let him be a heel. He'll get over as a heel.
And it's like, if you want him to be like Joe, where he's got that instant credibility, then take him all the way like you did last night. If he's supposed to be a baby face, I don't know what the crap they're doing. Which we'll talk about how to make that, like what happened last night, work for a baby face on Thursday. But it's like, I'm just like really, really confused with Roman. I don't understand him. Which, he's a relatively straightforward individual. It's a relatively straightforward character. I should understand it. I should get it. I don't, because I have no idea what they're doing with it. It doesn't make any sense. You know?
Oh, I'm with you on that.
Whereas it's like, Joe, I get him, because it's a very straightforward persona, very straightforward character. I understand where they're going with it. I understand what they're doing with it. It works. It's perfect for Joe, because it's Joe being Joe, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We're all familiar with that, and it comes across so clearly on television that you don't need any explanation. It's not required. Roman requires explanation, which is never good, you know?
I'm with you.
Like, massive respect for the dude. He works his tail off. He's doing everything he's supposed to be doing. He's getting better. He's almost there. He's winning people over. But it's just, it's like, I think a lot of people are like me, and they don't know what to do with Roman. They don't. Because he's supposed to be one thing, but they're booking him like another. And it's just like, what? So, but this segment, overall, back to the, sorry about the rant, this segment overall was very, very good.
Now let's go to the complete opposite. Goldust versus R-Truth, you could hear a pin drop.
Oh my god, I felt so bad for them. I felt so incredibly bad for them because they were working so hard and, like, nobody cared. Nobody. Nobody in that audience gave a damn. I felt so sorry for them.
Goldust beat R-Truth. In other action on Monday Night Raw, Akira Tozawa and Cedric Alexander beat Neville and Noam Dar. Neville was pinned.
Which will not make him happy.
Which will not make him happy.
Oh, so I showed my mom Neville while I was gone. Because I was watching the pay-per-view last night, and she was watching it, kind of like half-watching it with me, and she's like, what the hell is wrong with Neville's head?
He's an angry little troll. That's what he is.
That's what I had to explain to her.
Nice. Other things that happened, Sasha Banks and Bayley beat Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax when Bayley pinned the women's champion.
About time Bayley got a win. Good lord.
Right?
Match was fine. Match was great, but damn. It's been a while for Bayley.
Been a few weeks. Monday Night Raw opened with Big Cass coming to the ring, and he talked about beating up Enzo last night, and said he'll be a future Universal Champion, and he'll main event WrestleMania, and there's no one, you know, that can stand. He'll be on the Tonight Show. He'll be the face of WWE. He'll represent WWE every day of his life. Because no one's on his level. No one could look at him eye to eye. No one is big as him. Cute Big Show. They brawled. It was a solid promo from Big Cass, but there's a lot wrong with Big Cass. He's missing the charisma, and he's like 6 foot, 150 pounds, and you can't teach that. That's the charisma he's missing.
Here's the thing. The promo itself was really, really, really good for a babyface, because there's a point in the promo where he goes, this is, you know, basically, I showed you, everybody that's ever doubted me, I showed you. Here I am. I'm in the company that I want to be. I'm where I want to be. I'm on my way to stardom. All my haters, all my doubters, you know, F you, obscene hand gestures included in that. I'm on my way.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody who, you know, never believed in me, I proved you wrong. That is like a classic good guy, baby face, yo, Adrian, I did it kind of moment. And it's like, it kind of struck me as odd in that promo. Like, I get what he was trying to do with it. But it was just like, that's a little weird. And then it's like, he goes, you know, every time I hit Enzo, it's like me getting revenge for the last 5 years. Okay. If you can't stand somebody, really can't stand them, why do you tolerate them for 5 years? Why? I just don't buy that. Because, you know, everybody has their breaking point. But it's like, you're not going to put up with somebody's stupid crap for 5 years and then kick them in the face. It's like, honestly, if you were going to do this, you should have had them come up to the main roster, especially if Cass was using Enzo to get to the main roster. And you basically have them come out on Monday Night Raw that first night, and he kicks Enzo in the face.
Because how you doing?
You know, it's like that. That's when you run that kind of angle. It's like they've been on the main roster for over a year.
A year and 3 months.
So you don't come up to the main roster, deal with it for, you know, a year and 4 months on top of the 4 or whatever years you've already been together, and then be like, oh yeah, I can't stand you. I'm sick of you. I can't tolerate your crap. I'm out.
Peace, 420. Kiss my ass, white people. Good night.
Right. You know, it's like, I just don't buy that. It's like the promo was fine. He did okay with it, but it was just, it was oddly written, and it was just, it's like, what?
After week one, the promo will get old, and there's no character depth, and they have to find it for him.
Yeah, they need to find Cass Charisma, or they need to go get his girlfriend from James Ellsworth. One of the two.
How you doing? Finn Balor beat Elias Samson. Samson can get heat. And that's about it. Finn won. Match was fine. It was solid. The more amusing thing was that afterwards, Finn wins. Then the Hardy Boys come out on stage and they shake hands. It was like, well, that's a neat connection. And then, anything you want to add about the match before I move on?
I feel like Elias Samson and Bray Wyatt need to find each other. Because either they would make really, really good friends, swapping, you know, drifting stories from place to place, picking people up, possibly killing people, you know, collecting trophies, that kind of thing. Or they would make fantastic enemies where, like, Elias is moving in on Bray's territory in terms of recruiting people from the cult to follow Elias because, you know, that's pretty much what Elias was doing, was trying to recruit followers. And it's like the instant he started doing that, I'm like, where's Bray? Somebody go find Bray right now because... This needs to be a thing. They need to find each other at some point. After Bray's done with Seth, Bray needs to go find Elias. But in other news, Elias lost. I feel bad for Elias. Like, I know it's Finn, and you're not going to have Finn lose to Elias Samson, but that doesn't do Samson any favors at all, to say.
So, the Hardy Boys came to the ring. You could just feel it in the air. So, Jeff Hardy says... They came back, and they battled for 30 minutes with Cesaro and Sheamus, and they're 1 second short. They fail to regain their belts. People in the back think that the Hardys have passed their prime. Maybe people in the back believe that they should just fade away and classify themselves as obsolete. Point number one. Matt says they're here to make a proclamation, and they're not going anywhere. They are not done making magic in the WWE universe. Out came Gallows and Anderson. They said it wasn't other teams, it was them, said the Gallows. Carl says, you seem proud of your performance. All you showed that you were not the Hardy Boys of old, you were just old Hardy Boys. Luke tells the nerds to get out of the ring and practice your magic elsewhere because they are the magic killers. Matt says they may be a little bruised and a little broken, but if you think you rule the ring, why not? Let's have a referee come out and have a match right now. They were full-on broken Hardys, just about.
Teasing sluts.
All credit to Omega for that one.
Yeah, all credit to Omega for that.
So, yeah, they were full-on Hardys, broken Hardys, just about. I enjoyed it. I know Lindsay doesn't like the broken stuff, but I like the verbiage. I like where they're headed with it. And then they got beat by the club. They got a little bit more broken tonight by the club as they hit the magic killer of Matt. And then, the revival broke them some more. They shattered Jeff Hardy. I thought this all was really well done.
I thought it was all really well done. I have a really strong feeling the Hardys got what they wanted out of Impact.
You mean you have a premonition?
I have a premonition that the Broken Universe may be coming to WWE.
You may see some magic in WWE. I'm all for it.
Which means I'm going to have to cry for the foreseeable future.
So
I hate the Broken Universe.
So with that said, you need an award for most crying moment of the year?
Yeah, the Mizzies. I should get a Mizzy for this.
Bo and Curtis won a Mizzy. We're supporting actors.
Curtis should win a Mizzy for most improved wardrobe.
What, not Bo?
Bo, honey, we have got to talk about his fashion choices. We just bless him for trying. He's going all in. But last night, like, tonight was better than last night. But I swear to God, it still looks out like, you know, Bo and Curtis coming from court, where Curtis is Bo's lawyer, and he just got him off for doing something stupid. That's what it looks like. I swear to God.
Maurice was given the most beautiful, gorgeous, and sexy leading lady in WWE. And she gave a fantastic speech. I love the applause sign, though.
That was great. That was absolutely great.
The final award was for greatest man in WWE, Miz said, right, Dean Ambrose. Just kidding. LOL. It was for him, and he gave a speech. Miz spoke about Ambrose folding under pressure of facing him. Miz said Ambrose is the toughest man in WWE, then questioned what makes him tough if he beat him. Ambrose came out, tackled Miz. They were 3-on-1 attack. Seth Rollins made the save. Backstage, Ambrose was not happy that Seth Rollins made the save and said there will be no reunion of the Shield. He told him to stay out of his business and to fight his own battles.
Fangirl heart shattered everywhere.
I thought the stuff is good, and we had a premonition that did not come true just yet, but it feels like it's coming true here in a bit. Because we'll talk about our main event. Bray Wyatt versus Seth Rollins, they both cut promos before the match. Same stuff they have been talking about. And then they had a really good match. Like, you know, it is what it is between these two. They have really good matches. We'll talk about the one from Sunday on Thursday, but this was really good too.
This was really good. I thought it was as good last night, but maybe last night was a little bit better. These two have just fantastic chemistry together. I love them feuding. I still don't know what they're feuding about, but I don't care because there's a psychological element to it that I really enjoy because I feel like Bray and Seth are on that same level mentally and they challenge each other like that as well as physically. They also have that, you know, sort of same skis factor going on with each other that just complements very nicely. But yeah, this was a great match on par with last night. Bray wins points.
So here's the thing about this match. They played off of last night's match. So the finish last night was the fingers. Finger poke to the eye, and then Sister Abigail. I believe the... Anyway, it was a finger poke last night. So Seth Rollins worked over Bray's hand. Trying to stop the hand. So Bray goes, okay, I'll just headbutt you instead. And that's what he did. So Bray Wyatt wins. He stands over Rollins, or kneels over Rollins. He disappears. Then the Miztourage comes out.
Yeah, okay. So I want to discuss this, first of all. Because, you know, we're sitting there, right, and the Mizzies happen, and Dean Ambrose comes out. Does his thing, Seth saves him, and we're both going, oh my god, I see exactly where this is going to go. They're going to make the match, Miz and Bray versus Seth and Dean, and I'm finally going to get my moment of Biker Bo Dallas and Bray Wyatt together, because Bo would be down there in Miz's corner, right? And we're sitting here going, oh my god, that would be awesome, that would be perfect, and then they just announce a solo match. And it's like, well, maybe it's going to end in shenanigans, and they're going to turn it into the tag match, and we're going to get what we want. Nope! Nope. Bray headbutts the ever-living hell out of Seth, which looked vicious as crap, beats him, disappears, and then Bo comes out. I got screwed. I so got screwed tonight. I want Bray Wyatt and Bo Dallas in the same space. Damn it. I want it to happen. Somebody give it to me.
So the Miztourage came out. They surrounded him like the Shield does. They beat on him. Dean made the save. I have a feeling the premonition we had will be next week.
I hope so.
Either next week or in the coming weeks, because they're all feuding now.
I'm hoping so.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see where that goes. So, earlier in the evening, after the whole Samoa Joe, Roman Reigns, Kurt Angle, Brock Lesnar segment, Corey Graves got a text. Kurt was so unhappy. And, you know, he's like, maybe I need to reveal this all next week. Okay. So, after the match, at the main event, Angle was seen on the phone. tell the person to come next week. They could do it together. They don't have to be ashamed of anything in hopes the person feels the same way about him. Tell the person come to television next week so they tell the whole world together he loved the person and ended the call. So, here's the theory we came up with a minute before we came on the air. He's in a relationship with Stephanie McMahon. They have a bastard love child that they believe is Hunter's, and it's not Hunter's, it's Kurt Angle's. Oh, it's true, it's damn true.
Or he's just in an affair with, you know, Stephanie McMahon.
I like the whole child thing, though.
I like the whole child thing, especially if they've covered it up.
That'd be cool. But I want it to be like a relationship with Steph, and that sets up Hunter and Kurt for SummerSlam. We're breaking news here, folks.
And we call Mole if anybody steals it.
Just saying. But, so Kurt Angle will reveal things next week, and we get Roman Reigns versus Samoa Joe next week for a shot at Brock. I wouldn't mind if it's a three-way with the three of them at SummerSlam, but I have a feeling Roman's going to be Joe, because Roman always needs to get his win back.
I'm okay with this.
What, the three-way?
The three-way? Yeah, I'm okay with this.
Yeah, but it won't happen.
It won't happen, but I would be fine with it.
That'll do it for the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network tomorrow night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, twitch.tv/RackRadioShow for WTR Sims. Thursday night, we're back live with Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern.
That's right, we are back live, so if you missed us last week, we did a podcast edition because, well, I had to go on vacation. So this week, we are back live. We are going to have news because, oh boy, do we have news. We'll have notes. We're going to be talking NXT, SmackDown, Great Balls of Fire, and more. You don't want to miss it. It's The Rack, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter.com, YouTube, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, Twitch. We're all there. Rack Radio Show, Instagram as well. Saturday night, midnight edition, CB Radio. This week we're doing the great debate slogans. Last week we did One Hit Wonders. Go back and listen to that. CBRadioLive.com, CB Radio Live on Facebook and Twitter. Hashtag Blame Rob When a Celebrity Dies. Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern, they will preview Battleground on Russell Talk Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern at WTR Sunday night on the Facebook and the Twitter. We'll be back next Monday night for Rob Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter at LensWard, LANSWRD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at Behance.net/LensWard, same as Twitter's.
Gerwick.net and Wrestling Figure Photography. Instagram.com/MBG1211, which MBG1211, Matt Goldberg was on the rack. So go listen to that awesome episode, longer than any show we do, when we're actually live. Available now at RackRadioShow.com. So for Lindsay, I'm Rock. We'll see you Thursday for the Rack, and right back here for the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern, along the airways of the Wild Talk Radio Network, right here at wildtalkradio.com.
Wildtalkradio.com.